Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics, including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution.
Welcome to episode 8 of our podcast. Today's topic is our top 5 tips for obtaining planning permission. My name is Claire Haynes, and I am here today speaking with Jay Das, one of our partners here at Wedlake Bell, who specialises in the area of town and country planning legislation. You will know that just about everyone has an opinion about whether permission should be granted for the Garden Bridge over the River Thames in London, or for those blocks of flats, dare I say it, behind your house. I am really excited to have Jay here, who I hope will be able to tell me if I can extend to the back of my house. On a more serious note, I'm going to ask Jay to give us her top 5 tips for how to secure that all-important planning permission. Now, Jay, I know you're an expert in planning, as I understand you've been practising in planning for some 20 years, nearly half of your life. Can you tell me what it is about planning that keeps you interested in this field after so many years?
Thanks, Claire. You're right, I have been advising on this area for most of my professional career, and the main reason I'm still practising in this area is that I think it's an area of law where you can really see the art of persuasion at work. I joined the legal profession because I felt it would give me the tools to be a good advocate for a cause, and as a youngster, when I joined local government back in the 90s, I really took the power that local councils have under the planning regime, and it's one of those places where you can really see democracy in action. The competing land ownership interests, the competing political interests of the local politicians are all played out in public. The public become very emotive when they feel that their rights are infringed. And to give you an idea, in my time in local government, I took it all so seriously that I had 2 people committed to prison for planning breaches.
Jay, thank you. That's really interesting and good to know a little bit more about you and your motivations. I thought you might share some of your top tips on how to secure that all-important permission. So Jay, what is your number one top tip?
Thanks, Claire. I would say that my number one top tip is to remember to keep it professional. Stay away from making it personal. Local planning authorities have a difficult enough task in balancing the competing requirements of neighbouring residents to a scheme, quite often labelled as NIMBYism, their public policy pressures to deliver schemes, and of course the pressure they get from developers to grant planning permissions. So my number one tip is to keep interactions with the local authority professional. Stay away from making it personal. Local councillors are elected every 3 to 5 years. They're quite often voted in on a cause, be it to secure a local village or to secure a new football club, or even, dare I say, to prevent housing in particular neighbourhoods in their area. To give you some examples of this, I remember as an in-house solicitor at one of the local authorities, instructions came down from up high to enter into a Section 106 agreement to secure a village hall, to set up a charity for that to occur. All of this in order to allow the development of some housing in the Green Belt, which is totally against planning policy. The planning officers objected to the scheme, didn't want to get it through. And the corridors of power in local government work not in a dissimilar fashion to that of central government. Various local councillors met with the chief executive, and suddenly we had devised a scheme which would produce an exception to the policy to allow that scheme to go ahead. And as such, it is really imperative that those making applications remember to keep it professional.
Jay, thank you. What would you say to those applying to councils for their permission to think about as they are making their application?
I would say listen really carefully and attentively to what the officer has to say, not just to the expressed opinions or their written opinions, but when you're meeting the officers, that is, if you can meet the officers, listen to what they're saying in between. Listen for the messages that they can't openly put out there. They are effectively the windows to the council's soul. They are the people who will be able to give you an idea as to how your application is going to be treated. one of the experiences that I had as an in-house lawyer was to see how these things are determined behind closed doors. And it is often the case that once the committee agenda is put together, the officers, together with the chair and the vice chair of the planning committee, will sit down with the case officers and the lawyers to go through the agenda. And it's at that point in time that it starts to become apparent to all those involved which schemes are going to be difficult schemes, which schemes are going to go through, and which ones no one's really that interested in. And one of the things that's really notable from an internal perspective is that if there's a scheme that's of strategic importance, a bit like central government, councillors within various political parties do exercise whips and say that their councillors will vote for a particular strategic scheme. So listen very carefully, I would say, to anyone who's making an application, to the communications, both verbal and non-verbal, that you're getting back from the case officer and the council.
Jay, is that always the case, as officers can recommend approval and it can still get turned down, can't it?
You're right, Claire. They don't always get approval just because an officer recommends approval, but it's as good as you're going to get before you get to committee. It isn't unusual that, you know, anybody can find that the outcome of a decision is something of a surprise, but it gives you an idea of how unpredictable outcomes to planning applications can be.
Is there anything that people or applicants can do to maximise their chances of securing that all-important permission?
Yes, of course. I would suggest that understanding the system is key to success. One of my most successful clients, who used to get permissions invariably on the timescales that he had programmed in, would put an immense amount of pressure on local authorities. He understood the system and he knew the tools which were open to him to use, including lawyers and legal agreements. He would always take me along to council meetings and would explain to those at the meeting that I had worked in-house and that I understood their cause and that the council's position would be protected. And I found that his persistence at getting face-to-face meeting and just being in regular contact with local authorities, whilst at the same time understanding the pressures under which local authorities work and their resource pressures, meant that he would use the system to his advantage. But he could really only do that because he understood the system so well.
Thanks, Jay. I have you down to give us a few more top tips to planning success. I just wanted to pause there and say that should anyone out there feel they need planning assistance, they should get in touch with you at jdas@wedlakebell.com. Details can be found on the Wedlake Bell website. So Jay, what are your other two top tips?
Claire, I think being able to work with all types of people is absolutely key to getting planning applications through. And one of those, as I've already mentioned, is working with councils and council officers. Anyone who's a serial applicant, as many developers tend to be, need to consider the long-term impact. The council officers do not often leave local authorities. They may move around. And it's well worth remembering that if you stitch up one council, they will remember the next time. But it is key to establish good relationships, not only between the applicant, but also between advisors. To give you an example, there was a scheme where I was involved on a major project where it was a couple of thousand homes, a new football stadium. The local authority had land ownership interest. And because it was an involved scheme, not only did the applicant and the council officers get to know each other over a period of time, but all the advisors got to know each other over a period of time. And as a consequence, a relatively good relationship was established, which meant that a couple of years later, when we had to go back for a variation, it was relatively painless. And again, when we went back on a completely different scheme for a completely different applicant, the relationships had been established. They knew that we weren't there just to pull a fast one and that we would work with them on a reasonable and rational basis. And we found that it was relatively painless as these things can be.
Thanks, Jay. So communication and cooperation is key.
Absolutely, I agree.
And your final top tip?
My final top tip would be persistence. persistence pays, allow yourself the maximum amount of time possible to secure permission. And that may mean being ready to follow through on a planning appeal.
If all else fails, what do you do if the authority is simply being unreasonable?
Well, I'd say have a really long stick and make sure you're well funded. Authorities, and it can often be councillors, who can get very tunnel visioned or entrenched in their views and are not prepared to look at any reasonable solutions. And in those cases, it is important that applicants should know that they have the right of appeal. Yes, it will cost them money. If they can secure the officer to recommend approval, there may be a very good chance of getting your costs back at appeal. But you find, and one of the things I have found over time, is that those people who have time to pursue applications tend to be most successful. You can put in 1, 2, 3, 4 applications, and the war of attrition quite often works. Eventually, by the 10th application, many of the objectors have lost interest. So persistence, I think, is the key.
Thanks very much, Jay. If anybody does have any questions or they would like to get in touch, they should contact you at jdas@wedlakebell.com.
Yes, please, Claire.
Thank you for listening.
You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.